What is going on, everybody? Jamie Shaw here, Absolute Basketball Podcast. Super excited for today's guest. For you today, we will have UNC Asheville head coach Mike Morrell on the show. We're going to go through, talk about his time as a coach coming up through the ranks, his time as a both player, both in basketball and golf in college. We're going to talk about him and his philosophy moving forward, what he looked for in prospects, the time during quarantine, and all this exciting thing. Super excited for you guys to get to listen to it. But before we jump into it, if you want to continue to hear more about basketball, both on the prospect side, both on the coaches side, learn more, deep dive into their stories and more about them as people, please make sure that you subscribe to this podcast. Very excited about the prospects that we have. Looking forward to season two here. So please make sure you subscribe, and please make sure that you rate us 5 stars here and leave in the comment section below what you enjoyed about everything that was said, that Mike said, everything that's going on here and all that type of stuff. I very much appreciate that. But without further ado, here is UNC Asheville head coach Mike Morrell on the Absolute Basketball Podcast. Thank you guys very much. What is up, everybody? This is Jamie Shaw again on the Absolute Basketball Experience. I am fortunate to have UNC Asheville head coach Mike Morrell on today's episode. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Very excited about it. Off the air, we started talking about that Jordan documentary that came on last night. Real briefly, what was your take?
Like we said, very few things have that much hype and actually live up to it, and it did. Just sad I got to wait 6 more days. there's going to be one song on my playlist this week, and it's serious. The intro music with the Bulls theme song, with the starting lineup. So I was a kid in a candy store, man.
No question. No, it was awesome. And like you said, I think it lived up to the hype, and things rarely do these days. So we got more weeks to come of it, 8 more episodes to go. So I'm excited to see it. Wanted to jump in real quick, get a little background of you. Milligan College, 1,400 career points scored, top 10 all-time in school history. What type of player were you?
Average. Average, a lot of things that I did, fairly well as a player, and I didn't do well as a player are things that I harp on all the time as a coach. Like, I was a bad defender. I'm always, obviously, as a coach, like, oh, man, you got to guard more. You got to guard more. And I was not a good defender.
Yeah.
I shot like 80% from the free throw line, I think, for my career, maybe even a little bit higher than that. And we were not a good free throw shooting team this year. So I got to find a way to translate that.
Yeah.
Man, I just love to play. You know, I think the thing for me as a player coming out of high school was, did I want to go somewhere and play and have a great experience? Or did I want to go somewhere and just be a body, you know, enjoy school? And I made the right decision for me to go to Milligan College, which there's not a lot of people who know where that is. And I played literally the lowest level of college basketball that you could, NAIA Division II. But, man, it was more about the relationships for me. And I'm so proud of those 4 years that I had there. And that's really, really when I developed a love for coaching. And it's because a lot of the people there.
And even more so there, to talk about your overall athletic ability on the golf team. A noted golf player and stuff. Do you still play today?
I actually do. I just don't play a lot. But I still have my clubs. They stay in the back of my SUV. I just never bring them out. But it's just kind of like, just as long as they're there, you know. Every once in a while, I'll go to the driving range. Yeah. Right down the street. I grew up working on a golf course, Jamie. And so that was really where my love of golf kind of started. And so I do golf. I wish I played more, but you know, it's hard to find 4 or 5 hours for a round these days as a coach.
No question. So right out of college, right out of Milligan, getting in the top 10 in school history and points, you went on to be a coach at King College. Was coaching kind of always in the cards for you?
Yes, coaching was. At the college level, no. I wanted to be a high school coach. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be a high school coach well into my college career, Jamie. And I think Around my sophomore, junior year of college is when that started to change for me. Had a conversation with somebody I really respect, and they're like, well, hey, if you think coaching in college might be in the cards for you, it's a lot easier to go from college to high school than high school to college. And I just was fortunate to work some camps and meet some people that were able to help me get into coaching in at the collegiate level. And my first job at King, man, I really, really lucked up and was fortunate. The guy that hired me recruited me out of high school. And my first job, I was telling somebody this the other day, my first job was assistant basketball and head golf coach at King College, which is now King University. Mm-hmm. And I worked for two guys there in 2 years. And that, you know, arguably was the two funnest years I've ever had at coaching. I wasn't making any money, and I was having an absolute blast. So it was a lot of fun.
Sure. And then I guess after that, you went to Clemson, grad assistant for a year, then Dobo for 2 years. Mm-hmm. You made it to the tournament all 3 years while y'all were there.
Yep.
What were your biggest growth points as a coach during that time frame?
Wow. Well, understanding time management and organizational skills for the two roles that I was in at Clemson was huge. And I was, I think, 24 when I got there, and I was promoted to director of operations at 25. And I worked for a guy in Oliver Purnell who he loved to promote from within if you could do your job at a high level. And so I learned, you know, I was on staff there with Coach Smart my first year. And just learned from some great people like Josh Pastorino, who went from ops to assistant coach, which allowed me to go from graduate assistant to ops. Mm-hmm. And so those were, I mean, it was intimidating. I'm not going to lie to you, to go from NAIA, which is what King was at the time, to go to not only Division I, but the highest level of Division I in the best league in the country, and then get a full-time job a year later, you know, camp. Private planes, hotels, meals. Like, honestly, I didn't get the chance to grow as a coach as much as I would have liked to during that time because I had so much other stuff going on. I really had to make time. And I just remember Coach Smart always challenged me. I know you think you got a lot of stuff going on, Mike, but you've got to continue to grow as a basketball coach because you didn't get in this to book hotel rooms. You got in this to coach basketball. And I'm really glad I had him, you know, there in that first year because, you know, that was still when VHS tapes were in. DVDs were coming on the market, and a lot of my time was spent in that film room. So that was the way that I grew the most was translating the film into, like, hey, just learned so much about basketball just because I was literally watching film all day.
And then looking back at it, too, Oliver Purnell's staffs, his teams, his managers, his assistants, and everything throughout that time frame have gone on to be very successful in the coaching profession.
Yeah. We had some we were fortunate, man. Clemson's done a lot. You know, it's obviously for football people right now. It's obviously known for that. But if you look back over the lineage of Clemson basketball coaches, it's been a good starting point for a lot of people. And that's previous to Oliver. That's Coach Shiat, too. You know, you got Coach Shiat right there before Coach Purnell, which Coach Shiat, Matt Driscoll, Dustin Kearns, you know, and you could go on and on. Will Wade started with Coach Shiat and not Coach Purnell.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and then after your time there, 2 years as a Dobo, you finally get the chance to go on the road. In 2010, 2011, Charleston Southern brings you on. For a season, which is a huge deal for a college coach. You know, it's kind of hard to break from. It's not hard, but, you know, it takes time to break from the Dobo to getting on the road. Yep. What went on, I guess, in that decision for you, and how important was that for you to get that experience?
Well, Jamie, it wasn't a decision for me. I did not go with Coach Purnell to DePaul. Mm-hmm. And I think that gets lost in maybe my story a little bit. And it's something that I'm extremely – I know this sounds weird, but it's something I'm extremely proud of. Mm-hmm. Because I had about 90 days where I didn't have a job, a little less than that. And I remember Coach Purnell's like, Mike, I don't have a spot for you, man. And, but you're going to be fine. And I remember him really helping me. But John Shulman introduced me to Barkley Radebaugh at Charleston Southern. And that's, you know, I started to realize at Clemson how important relationships were and how important having genuine and real relationships were. John Shulman's from Johnson City, Tennessee, which is the area that I'm from. He's a mentor of mine. And he was the biggest reason I got that job at Charleston Southern. And Bob Ritchie, who's the head coach at Furman now, Bob was an assistant on that staff. And Bob was really the one that Coach Radebaugh had doing the legwork on who's going to replace, you know, I think it was J.D. Powell that left to go. I can't remember where he went, Citadel or something. So that spot was open. So it really wasn't a decision for me, man. I needed a job.
Yeah.
I was extremely fortunate that my next job was a job that I obviously would have loved to have had when I had my job at Clemson, and that was getting on the road. And I know so, young guys are, got to get on the road. I got to coach, could get on the road. And, man, I was really lucky that I went to a place where Coach Radebaugh was very patient with me because I was not ready for that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that I wasn't, you know, just ready in terms of, I just needed to grow. I needed a lot more growth, just like freshmen do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a great year for me, and a lot of growth because at that level we did everything. And so I had a blast, and Charleston's not a bad place to live either.
Not at all, especially for a guy in their 20s. So quickly after that, your boy Shaka Smart gives you a call. Coming off a storied run, doing just crazy things up there, being, you know, what they are, gives you a call to come up to VCU with them.
Right.
Put you in the Dobo spot, chance to learn there, not only coming off the Final Four run, but also as they transition into the Atlantic 10 as a conference. How hard was that decision for you? Obviously, as I just posed that question, it sounds like it was a no-brainer decision, but coming off the road, going as a Dobo spot and all that kind of stuff, how hard was that decision for you to make there? But also, well, I'll follow up with the question afterwards later.
It wasn't hard at all. One of the reasons it wasn't hard is Coach Radebaugh was awesome when I talked to him about it. When I went there, Coach Radebaugh said, I need you to stay 2 years unless you can go work for Coach Smart.
Yeah.
That's how awesome Coach Rade was. He literally told me that. And so, you know, I obviously had a strong relationship with Shaka, and his, after that Final Four, man, it wasn't just Coach Jones. All of his assistants were like hot commodities. You know, Coach Rhodes had interviewed for a few jobs and hadn't worked out. And I had talked to Coach Smart, and he basically said, you know, hey, if one of these guys moves on, you know, there'll be a spot open, and I'd love to have you in it. And so, but I will say this, it wasn't hard for me because I trusted Shaka. Yeah. And, you know, he told me, if you come here and do your job at the level that I think you will, I will move you up from operations to an assistant role when the time comes. He told me that before I took the job.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, man, you know, I would challenge a lot of people out there. How many people in your circle do you have that you trust enough that you would move everything for? Well, Coach Smart was that for me.
Yeah.
And I told everybody, you know, and I still say this to this day, if he says it, I always did it.
Yeah.
No matter if I agreed with it or not, he knew a lot more than I did. And so there were some other things in my career leading up to that that would have been better for me financially, that would have probably gotten more Twitter likes or whatever. But, it, you know, I just remember him. That's not what's for you. What was best for me was getting the opportunity to work for him. And I think it's more about who you work for, who, than where you work, where, especially early on in your career.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it was a no-brainer. Now, the most challenging year for me at VCU, Jamie, in terms of that, was the second year. I really missed being on the floor. I really missed what went along with that. I like recruiting, man, but that ain't why I got into coaching.
You know,
I wanted to be on the floor. I wanted to coach. And the first year, there was so much stuff going on. I don't want to say I didn't miss it. I just was that second year. I mean, I was ready to get back in some drills, man.
And kind of the timing of when you went up to VCU, y'all were rock stars, not only in Richmond, but around the country. I mean, y'all packed out everybody's home courts. You got the best from everybody and all that kind of stuff. I can only imagine for a young coach that was an incredible experience. What was it like living through the Shaka Smart days at VCU?
Best basketball experience I've ever been a part of, bar none. The best part of it, Jamie, was the staff.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best part. When I got there, the staff was Shaka, Mike Rhodes, Will Wade, and Jamie and Christian and I literally got there the same day. We pulled into the parking lot at the same time. We started together.
All head coaches.
Jamie and I go way back. You know, Jamie and I went back. He was an assistant at Emory and Henry when I was an assistant at King.
Mm-hmm.
That was so special, like to have that opportunity to start at a place like VCU coming off a Final Four with a friend. You know, Jamie was only there for a year. Then in comes Jeremy Ballard, who's literally my closest friend in basketball. And then Will leaves and I get the opportunity and so that was the cool part of it, is what winning did for everyone, players, coaches, staff. I mean, you can sit here and rattle off GAs and managers that came through that time that are doing awesome right now.
Yeah.
That was the best part of it, the staff, the opportunity. We never worked for it. We worked with each other. And it was culminated on Saturdays and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 o'clock when the stew got rolling. And it was a special, special place. We were in the CAA my first year when we got there. 2011-12. And Coach Smart says all the time that was his favorite team he's ever coached. That was the year after the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the year Brad Burgess was a senior. Mm-hmm. And we won the CAA. We beat Wichita State in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And then after that's when we went into the A-10. And that helped VCU go to another level.
Yeah.
And it was a special, special time, man.
No question. And then after that, y'all got the job at Texas. Texas is big time. I mean, it's big student population, big money, big league, big time players, all that kind of stuff. Just kind of culminating, you know, y'all had the story at VCU, and you have the resources and everything at Texas. And then y'all go on, y'all recruit big time players and all that kind of stuff. What's it like being on the floor coaching Mo Bamba, Jared Allen, 10 4- or 5- star guys every single practice, every single day?
Complicated. we had so many resources at VCU. We didn't want for anything at VCU. You know, that's why VCU is one of the best jobs in America.
Yeah.
It's all about basketball. It's all about basketball. What can we do to help basketball be the best that it can possibly be? Then we go to Texas, and Texas is in another part of the country. Obviously we're recruiting, like you said, a completely different player. I remember when we got to Texas, I think I'm right in saying there were 5 McDonald's All-Americans in the state.
Mm-hmm.
One was in the city. It was a huge transition. I tell you, Jamie, it was a big transition personally, from going from VCU to Texas and all that came along with that, which tends to get lost in all these movements with coaches. And then we get there, man, and we're left a hell of a team.
Yeah.
With Isaiah Taylor and Cam Ridley and Coach Barnes. He left the cupboard full.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a great first year. And so I remember going in the first day of workouts, I think it was just me and Coach Smart. Nobody else was there. And he's down on one end and I'm down on the other. And we're coaching these guys. And, you know, like we get a water break and we come together in the middle of the floor and we're like, holy crap, these guys are really good. Isaiah Taylor, he's a good player, man. That was at the time where he had declared for the draft and we were just hoping that he came back.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those, like, as a head coach, you look at your assistant and you're like, no, no, no crap, man. Like,
yeah,
that's the most, like, I'm like, coach, we need this guy back. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, he's a pro.
So it was a lot of fun, man. It opened me up to a new part of the country. I've got a kid on my team from Houston, Texas, and had two kids on my team from Texas this past year. And I tell people all the time, you know, where do you recruit geographically? Wherever my relationships take me. Mm-hmm. And so it was good for me from a growth standpoint. But, man, the Mo Bambas, the Matt Colemans, the Isaiah Taylors, they were fun, man, because also, you know, not that VCU guys weren't, extremely smart.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
You say that you didn't get into it for recruiting and stuff. You want to be on the court and stuff, but you have been noted for your recruiting, national awards for, top recruiters and all that kind of stuff. I think in 2015, what is the difference between recruiting the under the radar good players like the Bradford Burgesses of the world that y'all had at VCU and won with, and the McDonald's All-Americans, Jordan Brand, All-Star, top 50 guys that y'all had at Texas? Like, what's the difference in that recruiting?
Whoa, you don't have enough time in the day. I think it all goes back to work. Mm-hmm. Like, people, he's a great recruiter. Recruiting's work.
Yeah.
Building relationships is work. And, I tell people this all the time. Now, I've not worked for a lot of head coaches, but Shaka Smart, like in terms of him recruiting as a head coach, I don't know any better. Mm-hmm. Like, the guy is unbelievable at, you like, coach, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. And he's unbelievable. And so we got a lot of credit for that. But, man, we were, in my opinion, working with the best head coach recruiter in America.
Yeah.
I heard Steve Forbes say this a couple of years ago. I thought this was a great comment. He said, when you become a head coach, never stop recruiting like you did when you were an assistant. And yeah. I thought that was unbelievable, comment. Coach Smart has never done that. He still recruits like he's an assistant coach. So I was the beneficiary of that in a lot of ways. And, you were one of the first relationships I made in North Carolina when I got, to be an assistant. Mm-hmm. I was just so excited. I think that's one of the things that I never really lost in the recruiting game was just like, I just want to know as many names as possible, but it all goes back to who's right for my head coach. Like Matt Coleman was right for our head coach at Texas. Mo yep. Bamba was right for our head coach at Texas. Just like Briante Weber and Kenny Williams and those guys were right for our head coach at VCU at the time. Yeah.
No, absolutely. And then transitioning, I guess you go from Texas, you got the head coaching job at UNC Asheville. Year one, y'all are the youngest team in the country. 76% of your minutes played were by freshmen. 90% of them were by underclassmen. What was it like? What was it like for you moving down a chair?
Hard. it was something that I was extremely grateful for. I knew our first year was going to come with a lot of challenges. You never think that your first job and your first year, you're only going to win 4 games. I was coming, like you said, University of Texas, Shaka Smart assistant, all this. The other team don't care. Like, they don't care. They're just trying to rip your face off and win. Mm-hmm. And, I had some people in my first year, Jamie, that I was able to lean on every single day that really helped me get through that year, because that would minimize the impact that our first helped me with understanding how good that first year could be for our program moving forward. And had to choose to see the good in everything we did, man. And that took some time. That was not always easy. We had one simple goal, man. Be better today than we were yesterday. Be better tomorrow than we were today. That is extremely hard to do.
Yeah.
But it allowed us to make a jump from 4 to 15 wins, go from dead last to fifth in the league this past year, and knowing that the next jump for our program is going to be the hardest.
Mm-hmm. And then looking at it, the best part about freshmen is they become sophomores.
Right.
Last year, you started 31 games with the same starting five, mm-hmm. all of which were sophomores. They all averaged over 10 points per game. They all averaged over 27 minutes per game. How do you feel about that group of guys that you have coming back?
Yeah, really excited about them. That's an understatement. I was really fortunate to have a couple players like Devon Baker and Cody Jude my first year, mm-hmm. Who were extremely talented. I was really lucky to follow a guy like Nick McDevitt here, mm-hmm. who, you know, I inherited Tajon Jones, LJ Thorpe, and Cody Jude, three of my best players. Nick did an unbelievable job here. Mm-hmm. I was the beneficiary of that. Now we got to coach him. But, you know, I didn't come here looking at it like those aren't my guy. They're my players, man. Our program, I think that helped them grow, understanding that. They did become sophomores. You know, the biggest thing for us, and you know, with as much as I hit you, like, you know, we got to get better in recruiting. And we were able to do that as well with Trent Stephanie and Doc Battle, two freshmen that came in and had a huge impact on our program. But we really – I mean, our top six was where our bread was buttered. Mm-hmm. With the way we want to play, Jamie, we got to get deeper. Yeah. And so that's the big challenge for us. But the guys who played as freshmen and inserting LeVar Batts along with those freshmen, obviously our talent level really went up. And then LJ Thorpe was hurt his whole first year, and LJ is our most talented player. Anybody in our program would tell you that.
And then coming off of last year, you know, y'all made that huge jump in wins, fifth in the league. You have everybody coming back. And this year's recruiting class, you go big. Five guys who are 6'6 and up, four of which are transfers, one of which is a high school kid. Was that the direction that y'all were going with this class, is kind of beef up the front court and kind of, you know, as you said, build depth but also get older?
Sure. Absolutely. 100%. We had to. You know, in our league, we got beat up around the rim pretty good, and it put a lot on Cody Jude. Jeremy Peck is a kid who did a lot of good for us last year, but he was really the only girth we had around the rim. I mean, we played Doc Battle at every position on the floor to try to – and he's 6'5", 205 pounds.
Yeah.
So, yes, that was the key for us. We got that early in the signing period with B.J. Marable, and we've continued with that here in the spring. And so that was 1A, 1B, and 1C in recruiting.
no doubt. And it seems that you've gotten some good ones, some guys with experience, you know, obviously at the college level, but also some success at the college level too.
Sure.
What you got. Asheville, for me, is one of my favorite cities.
Right.
You know, I love going there. Incredible food all around the city. Some good spots to hang out at and stuff. How has your time been so far living there? And how has it – you're a small-town guy. Yep. Has it surprised you as a city? I mean, what's your thoughts on Asheville?
Yeah, good question. I grew up about an hour from here, right outside of Johnson City in a town called Elizabeth. And it's exactly 1 hour from here to my mom's door. And that's cool for me.
Yeah.
Then I didn't spend a lot of time here, you know, when I was young. We went towards Knoxville.
Yeah.
And we went the other way. So when I got here, I didn't really have a ton of education on the Asheville area. It's very eclectic. As you said, man, there's some great food. It's got a lot of tourist attractions. There's always something to do. I enjoy getting outside. I enjoy riding my bike, running. And so for people like me, it's a haven for things like that. For people like me and you who love to eat, it's a haven for things like that as well.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons you love it so much, Jamie. I know.
No question.
yeah. And so it's been awesome. The thing that I really appreciate here is they love basketball. Mm-hmm. And we've got, you know, an unbelievable arena and unbelievable support. We don't have football here. Mm-hmm. And there's a direct – you know, there's a very good relationship between the city of Asheville, UNC Asheville and UNC Asheville basketball. And that's very evident as soon as I got here. So, but I enjoy it. I live in West Asheville, man. I've got a couple places that I go every single day when the doors are open.
Yeah.
But I love it. I love it here.
Absolutely. And it sounds like it's set up to be a success. How good, in your opinion, can this program be?
Like I told you earlier, man, you know, I think the biggest jump for us is the next jump. You know, I don't think many people expected us to make the jump that we made this past year. I didn't go into the year with a certain amount and, you know, hey, if we get to X amount of wins, it will be a success. You know this with coaches. We won 15. I think we should have won 18. If we would have won 18, I would have thought we should have won 20. So, you know, that's ever-changing. For us, though, we now have, some expectations that come along with winning. And, you know, we were picked ninth last year. So we didn't have a lot of expectations. We've still got to play with a chip on our shoulder, Jamie, even though we have expectations for our team, the expectations we have for ourselves being the most important. But I think we have an opportunity to compete, you know, for a Big South championship. I don't think that. I know that. The decision that we make daily is going to determine how close we can truly come to that in the next year.
No doubt. And then within the program, every coach has their stamp, you know, their culture that they build. You know, Shaka was known for the havoc defense. Steve Forbes at ETSU, you mentioned the toughness and stuff. What type of culture, what type of stamp is in your mind to put on this Asheville program?
Pressure defense. Mm-hmm. We led the league last year in turnover margin, turnovers forced, steals per game. We were third in the country in turnover margin. I think we were top 25 in steals and turnovers forced. And we didn't play that way our first year, so this was our first year really playing that way. Mm-hmm. If you talk to any coach that presses, you know, they'll tell you it takes a couple years to truly get to the style of play that you want to play. We want to play fast. Yeah. I think a lot of people, you know, again, some people want to play slower. Some people want to play fast. A lot of people talk about playing fast. We truly show that. Mm-hmm. It shows up in our stats, and that's our identity. That's our plan. And our style of play is something we're very convicted in. And we recruit to that. That's why we had to go get more protection at the rim with this recruiting class. We didn't have that last year. Mm-hmm. And with as much pressure as we try to put on the offense from the initial point of attack, we're going to give some stuff up back there. Yeah. Now, we don't have any Mo Bambas, but, you know, we're trying. But we do have a very distinct way of playing. It's our identity. It is in our DNA, and it is what we do. Mm-hmm. And it starts with a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
And that was the genesis for everything that we did at BCU. And it's the genesis for, I hope, what we're building here.
Yeah, I love it. I couldn't be more excited. And you know, the upward trajectory that you're building and stuff is, you know, first time young head coach and everything is nothing but exciting. I like to end these little interviews up with a little rapid fire, three quick questions. First thing that comes to your mind when you answer it. If you could live or be a part of any sitcom, which one would it be?
Oh, The Last Dance. No. Game of Thrones.
Okay. What did you have in your high school locker?
It was like an effort chart, stickers, and you the most stickers was basically like the guy, player of the week. Mm-hmm. That was what was in it. Number 24. You know why I was number 24, Jamie? I know this is not rapid fire. Because I wanted to wear 23.
Uh-huh.
Because of Jordan.
Yep.
But I felt like if Jordan ever were to see me wearing his number, he would respect it. So 24 was as close as I could get.
No doubt. That's hilarious. What the hell is this guy doing? No, that's awesome. And outside of basketball or golf, what is one thing that you can do better than most people that you know?
Mow yard.
What's your process? You do checkers, you do lines?
Lines.
Gotta
I'm
be
doing lines right now. My yard right now looks like the 18th at Augusta.
Oh, man, impeccable, huh? I bet you get yard of the month in the neighborhood every week.
No question. My neighbor is so jealous of my yard, he can't stand it.
Oh, man, you're getting older, man. Spending your Sunday mornings at Lowe's and coming back.
I grew up working on a golf course. I can edge with the best of them.
That's amazing.
If they had a head coach yard contest, Final Four worthy.
That's amazing. I love it. I love it. But what do you have anything that you want to say to not only the state of North Carolina, but also UNC Asheville fans that may be listening?
Well, one, I mean, I think we just have such a I'm very grateful to be in a state like North Carolina where basketball is so important, because I've been in other states where it's not. Mm-hmm. And I think that bleeds through from, like you said, the high major level, the mid, all the way down. Like, basketball is important in this state. And, you know, I've got guys from this state who are really impacting our program, like a LeVar Bats. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just really fortunate to have a job that I have, and my first opportunity as a head coach means everything. And, you know, to be at a place like, you know, coach used to always say this, you know, your first job needs to be a place where basketball means something, where it's important if you get the opportunity to make that decision. And I'm exactly a place like that.
That's awesome. Well, I can't wait to see what you got for us this year, you know, if we have the season. But excited.
We're going to have it.
Yes. Excited to see what you got for us. You're building something great up there in Asheville. Thank you for coming on and spending this time with us. For Mike Morrell, I'm Jamie Shaw, the Absolute Basketball Experience. Thank you guys very much for listening.